Welcome to the BOTUS podcast. I am Jacek from BOTUS, and today I am here with my colleague Dr. Sascha Böhm. As some of our listeners may recall, we already did a podcast together with my colleague Sascha. That podcast was on the topic of cerebone, so we were talking about that biomaterial. Today's podcast will be on the topic of PermaMem, and actually my colleague Sascha is the product manager for this biomaterial, PermaMem. So he knows basically everything about this membrane that we'll be talking about. So welcome Sascha, welcome to the BOTUS podcast.
Hello Jacek, thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you again, and I'm looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you here, Sascha. So thank you for having taken the time. So Sascha, as already mentioned, you are the product manager for PermaMem. And PermaMem is the latest or the newest product in the BOTUS portfolio. So what were the reasons for launching this product?
Yes, Jacek, that's true. PermaMem was introduced in 2017. It's really the latest member of the BOTUS product portfolio, and actually introducing PermaMem nicely mirrors the 360 degree approach of BOTUS, which aims to provide the optimal solution out of many options in almost all clinical situations. PermaMem is a synthetic membrane. And with this material, or with this device, we are able to provide an alternative in all situations where the use of a collagen membrane may be limited due to different reasons. Most of the users know that BOTUS is active worldwide, and in some regions, in some countries, collagen membranes are not used, or it is even not allowed to be used, specifically when we think about porcine derived materials. And in these situations, with PermaMem, we can provide an alternative to the collagen membranes, to Jason membrane, to Colprotec membrane. And in addition, with PermaMem, we complete our synthetic portfolio, if you want to say so, because with MaxResorb, we already have a nice biomaterial, which is totally synthetic. It is a bone grafting material, a biphasic calcium phosphate. And together with PermaMem, we actually can provide a fully synthetic solution. And I think this is also quite nice. Not every company in the biomaterials field has this opportunity and this this option. And last, with PermaMem as a synthetic membrane, we actually avoid dietary conflicts. When we think of many people that pursue a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle.
Okay, so you've already mentioned it several times that PermaMem is a synthetic barrier membrane. So what exactly it is made out of?
Well, PermaMem is made of polytetrafluoroethylene, short PTFE, which is actually a well-known and well-established material in medicine and also in regenerative dentistry. I think most of the listeners may know that membranes made out of PTFE were the first ones used in such concepts like guided tissue regeneration in the early 80s, long before collagen membranes were introduced. However, the PTFE of PermaMem is quite unique. It has some specific features. I think we will talk later about this. What I want to stress at this point is that the PTFE used for PermaMem is a high-density PTFE, which means it is non-porous. And this is a quite interesting feature which is different from other barrier membranes, from other PTFE membranes we find on the dental market.
So you mentioned this. This is quite interesting. I think that since PTFE membranes were developed and launched several decades ago, there have been a lot of technical advances also. And the membrane, PermaMem, that we are talking about now, it's highly dense and non-porous. So what does it mean, highly dense? What advantages does it have?
Oh, yeah, it has several benefits. Highly dense material means low porous or no porous. On the other hand, for permanent PDFE, we can say it is non-porous. So in a first of all, it's a material which is not penetrable by bacteria. And I think every clinician who has worked with PDFE membranes before was faced the situation, what to do in case of a flap dehiscence, what to do if the membrane gets exposed. And for PermaMem, I would say if it gets exposed, you don't need to worry because this membrane protects the underlying bone from being infected.
Actually, this is a very good point because whenever personally I talk about this membrane at congresses, for example, this is an important point that comes up whether or not it can be exposed. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And in addition, the membrane then not necessarily has to be removed immediately. I mean, we know from the early PDFE membranes, from the expanded versions, that those kind of devices had to be removed immediately, otherwise you risked an infection. Second, what is also an advantage of this high density characteristic is that we, of course, on the other hand, can do intentional open healing. So we can leave this membrane purposely exposed to the oral cavity, like for alveolar socket or ridge preservation, which is a beautiful indication of this membrane. We can just seal the socket, we stabilize the blood coagulum, and at the same time we protect this site from outside influences of the oral cavity. And furthermore, we do not have to manipulate the soft tissue in this situation because we don't have to raise a flap to cover the augmented site or the membrane. So that's a beautiful indication for PermaMem. And I would like to stress here that this was recently published by two independent groups in a prospective cohort study and in a retrospective study, which nicely illustrated the efficacy of PermaMem in this indication.
Okay, so we have a very innovative synthetic membrane, which is very, very dense, which is impervious to bacteria. What other characteristic does it have?
PermaMem has many unique properties. First of all, this membrane is extremely thin, so it's below 0.1 millimeter, so it's a very thin PDFE membrane, and this is obviously very advantageous if you deal with soft tissue, if you deal with thin soft tissue. Second, the membrane exhibits an extraordinary tear resistance, and this is very beneficial when you think of a fixation of the membrane, of cutting of the membrane. So it's perfectly clinically manageable, this device. Third, I would say another advantage of PermaMem is that the membrane is rather smooth. So if this membrane is exposed to the oral cavity, no matter if it was purposely open healing or if it gets a secondary exposure, we do see low to zero bacterial biofilm formation on this membrane. So almost no contamination of the surgical area. And I think this is also quite nice when you work with such a device. And last not least, another extraordinary property of this membrane is that it is colored. It is blue. And I think it helps to remove, it helps to locate the membrane during removal. And on the other hand, we can also easily distinguish this device from resorbable membranes, which are usually whitish.
You just mentioned an interesting point, which is the removal of the membrane. So it is a synthetic membrane which needs to be removed. Is that correct?
That's true. It's a non-resorbable membrane, and it has to be removed at a certain time point.
And how much time are we talking about?
Actually, PERMAMEM is intended for continuous long-term use. So the removal basically depends on the kind of application and in the indication, I would say. If you treat quickly regenerating sites like the alveolar socket, you may remove this membrane only after 3 to 4 weeks. If we talk about the open healing specifically, you can just use tweezers and remove this membrane from the site after a very short time. And the alveolar socket will quickly heal. You will get a immature bone and then an immature bone in a very short and quick time. And if we talk about bigger defects, even vertical guided bone regeneration, I would recommend to leave the membrane longer in situ, and then this device can even be removed at 4 to 6 months, depending on the bone grafting material used, which obviously it differs from the healing time and also depends on the dimension of the bone defect.
Okay, so the removal time, it depends on the indication that we're talking about, and it also depends on the sort of bone grafting material that we are using, if I understand correctly. One point that's quite strong, I think you mentioned it before, is the thickness of the membrane. So it's 0.1 millimeters, which, as to my knowledge, it's the thinnest membrane that exists in the world. Is that true?
I would agree. I also took a closer look what is on the market specifically. What do we have on PDAV membranes in the dental field available? And yeah, to my knowledge, it is the thinnest non-resorbable membrane I did find and I do know.
Mm-hmm. And one question that I think is very high interest to our listeners is in which indications can it be actually used? You already mentioned some, but maybe you can give us a whole picture.
Yeah, PERMAMEM is an ideal tool for all concepts of GBR and GTR. We can use this membrane in ridge augmentation procedures, for later placement of dental implants. We can perform simultaneous GBR and dental implant placement. We can treat the alveolar socket, as I outlined before. Fenestration and dehiscence defect treatment is also an indication of PERMAMEM. And we can even regenerate sites around natural teeth, talking about perio defects, if one likes to use a non-resorbable membrane in this indication.
Okay, so it's a really very versatile product that can be used in many different indications. Now, from my experience, from talking to different clinicians at congresses, at courses, I have the feeling that there are two different philosophies, that there is a majority of doctors who generally prefer to use collagen membranes, and there is a certain philosophy that certain doctors adhere who really believe in synthetic membranes. Now, from your scientific point of view, because you're also a biologist, when it comes to PERMAMEM, are there any indication where you would recommend the use of a synthetic membrane such as PERMAMEM over the use of a collagen membrane?
Yes, Jacek, that's a very good question. And of course, this is something which we thought about before launching PERMAMEM. And coming back to your first question, why did we introduce a PERMAMEM? Of course, it is, on one side, it's the synthetic character, which we hadn't before, just a porcine membranes. We would like to have, or we would like to provide an alternative to the dental community. However, also from the indication side or from the application side, I do see reasons and the rationale having such a membrane in the portfolio. I stressed before the treatment of extraction sites, and if one looks for a very simple approach to treat those sites, I would recommend Permamem here, because you can leave the membrane exposed to the oral cavity, which is usually not indicated for collagen membranes since they are rapidly degraded by bacterial enzymes. So this is a nice approach. It's also not a very sensitive, technique sensitive approach, because you do not have to raise big flaps. Of course, it depends on the dimension of the socket. Bone wall defects, but in general you do not have to raise a big flap, and you just put the membrane in subperiosteal pockets and leave this site exposed. And second, I also see an indication, or if we go for larger augmentations, Permamem has a certain form stability, and this is definitely higher than a collagen membrane. And here I do see advantages if we go outside, if we regenerate outside the bony envelope, the natural rich contour, we can provide more stability. We can provide actually the chance to regenerate more millimeters. And also want to stress here, this membrane is perfectly suited to be used, for instance, with some aid devices like tenting screws or anything like this. So you can have even more millimeters to regenerate.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about bone regeneration in general, the topic of micromovement and immobilization is quite important. So when we have a grafting site and we basically need to avoid micromovement, I think you can confirm this from a biological point of view. Now, the question I'm aiming at is, does this membrane need to be fixated? And yes, how?
I totally agree, Jacek. Regeneration is based on the forming blood coagulum, and this needs a certain time for healing and for maturation. And it is, of course, the optimal way if this is an undisturbed healing and we would like to avoid any pressure, any movement, any loading. So from the collagen membranes, we actually know that that it can be fixated, or it can also be just placed over the bone grafting material. These membranes, specifically when they are wet, adapt really nicely to the bone. For Permamem, of course, this membrane doesn't soak liquids, and adaption we need to push a bit. So coming back to your question, I would say it is very important. I would say it is crucial to immobilize this membrane at the site. And as I stressed before, this nice material properties, we can use any fixation device to immobilize the membrane at the augmented site. You can pin the membrane, of course, you can screw it, or you can even suture it. I would like to say that many users passively suture the membrane if they place it over an alveolar socket and leave it exposed. If they perform submerged healing, we mostly see that this membrane is tacked or is even screwed to be adapted to the recipient site.
Okay, so there are different ways to fix it, this membrane. Okay, good. Well, thank you very much, Sasha. Thank you for having taken the time to do this podcast. For all of our listeners, we're going to put on the website two very interesting links that might be of interest for you. So the first one is Botus Campus, and there in particular the site of Permamem. So there you will find lots of different clinical cases and also some webinars and other informations on the use of Permamem. And another website that I can very strongly recommend is the Indication Matrix. You're also going to find a link to the Indication Matrix below on this website. And there on the Indication Matrix also you find lots of different clinical cases on the use of Permamem in various indications. So again, Sasha, thank you very much for having participated.
Thank you, Jacek. It was a pleasure, and thank you all for listening.
Yeah, thank you to our listeners for having listened to the podcast, and stay tuned.